I said, that's the way that I like it. I said, oh, that's the way that I like it. I said, oh, that's the way that I like it. I said, oh, that's the way that I like it. I said, oh, that's the way that I like it. On FC Radio.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
Good evening, this is FCUM Radio, and this is the Friday Night Shindig.
What?
What do you mean, what is this?
Well, we don't normally do this on a Friday. What's this?
Huh?
What's this?
It's not Friday.
Exactly.
We don't need to do this time explanation at the start of every
we
program.
Do.
People get the fact.
What happens if there's breaking news? We'll be like Kay Burley without a sad dog picture to look at.
Breaking news. Ben, let's get right into it. Good idea. Breaking news is this, Ben. Do you want some breaking news?
What?
What a letdown United are. I mean, let's talk about this, because we've recently had issues with the fact that your son is growing up in a very blue area.
Yeah.
And you're desperately trying to keep him red. You keep him coming to FC, don't you?
Yes.
And that's great.
He'll be there next week.
And you're trying to encourage him by watching United on telly.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get him enthusiastic with the idea.
I've been borderline considering actually taking him back to Old Trafford, which is a really big thing. But that's the stage we're at now, where I'm thinking to myself, I've got to do something, because he cannot keep this going. He cannot keep watching Mourinho's United on BT Sport and grow up a United fan. It's just not possible. Even I'm having doubts.
Doubts about what?
United. I've got.
Well, of course you're having doubts. Why wouldn't you be having doubts right now? What is going on, Ben?
Oh, I mean, it's dreadful. Oh,
it's really funny. I was at a work thing this week, and there was a guy I know there, and he's a United fan.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked before about FC and Big United and stuff like that. And we walked up to each other. It was the morning after the what was the score?
2-1.
2-1. It was the morning after the 2-1 defeat
to Seville.
To Seville, that's
right. At Old Trafford.
In the Champions League, mm-hmm. where you played for a draw for some bizarre reason.
Don't know why.
Well, you know, it's important, Ben, to try and make it into extra time and then take a hold of the game.
I like this. We should have done a trilogy of this, because we had a discussion after the first leg, didn't we, about how, you know, I had to explain to a six-year-old about the merits of going away from home and getting a 0-0 draw. You know, we'll take it back to Old Trafford and it'll
Knock
be fine.
Knock them off the park, mate.
And then we're both watching it together and I'm like going, oh, they've just scored. I'll be honest, Dylan, I saw that coming about 80 minutes ago, but for you, this is a real moment in your life.
How does Dylan react to that?
He was like, oh, you've lied to me, Daddy.
Oh, no.
Did he
actually look you dead in the eye and say, you've lied to me,
he
Daddy?
He was looking at me for...
That's cold.
He's looking at me for assurance, and I couldn't give him that reassurance. I was like, no, I've got nothing here, Dylan. This is like watching United of old, except at least when Fergie was outmanoeuvred in Europe, because that happened a lot.
Sure.
People forget about it. You know, we did get beat a fair few times in Europe to some
you
pretty
poor
sides.
You did incredibly well a couple of times. But yeah,
exactly.
Sometimes you lost.
He got outmanoeuvred a couple of times. But at least we went out on the away goals rule. This was nothing. This was a full-on defeat.
Yeah.
And a limp one at that. And you think to yourself, there's some good players on this pitch. I could watch Lingard play all night.
Yeah.
He's a really good player.
Right.
Right. And Rashford. Wow. And Mata. He's a great player. Right. But Fellaini.
From the start.
He's not a United player.
From the start, Ben.
He's not, is he?
And the starting 11.
He's not played for 4 months.
Marwan Fellaini.
Nothing against the lad. I'm sure he's very good at the classic, you know. Who is that player?
He's an all-rounder, isn't he? He's your David Gower. You know, he can play anywhere.
He's not an all-rounder.
No. He plays at centre-back from time to time. He plays striker. He's a midfield lion,
but
Ben.
He's there for the same thing.
Just browsing around
the midfield.
He's there
for the same thing.
What's that?
A header on the far post. That's all he's there for. Not give
Ben.
Put it in the box.
Ben.
Flick it over, Fellaini.
You know,
go
I'm
for
no
it.
Fellaini fan, but he's a physical presence, would you not say, Ben? Hey?
He's good at giving away fouls.
He's a big lad, isn't he?
Mm.
Good at giving away fouls. You've got to be good at something.
So, at this stage, I've not ruled out going back to Old Trafford with my son to make sure I seal the deal. Because we're getting to the stage now where, you know...
Old Trafford with him?
I'm going to have to, aren't I?
Why?
Well, how else is he going to be a United fan other than...
Just take him FC.
No,
FC is a perfectly decent home for him.
Oh, yeah, sure. But this is about properly baptising him before he has doubts. You've got to get in there quick and go, this is your home now.
Ben, I really
We can
think...
get into the football politics of FC and United another day. But the most important thing is you're on the right side. That's the most important
thing. He's a different generation, Ben. I think we can tell anything from the last 10 years or so, 10 to 15 years, is that really football is decreasing in interest. So in Dylan's generation, Ben, really there's going to be no interest in football at all.
It's brutal. The classroom, the playground is brutal. It's not changed. In fact, it's got worse because, as I said to you, growing up in Salford, there was always the token City fan in the class.
Who, growing up in Yarm,
you
know, was exactly the
same. Liked to be a bit different. Yeah. Oh, look at him. He's so alternative. Yeah. City fan. It's 50-50 in this. In fact, he's in the minority in his class. And it's a cold, isolated place, that Marv, especially when you're getting beat by Seville.
School was hard, Ben. We can all agree on that. You're listening to the Friday Night Shindig live, not so live, with Ben and Marv, recorded a couple of days ago, but with you tonight, Friday. Oh, yeah, makes sense somehow. Ben, what are we coming up in the show?
Well, coming up in the show, we've obviously got an interview with Tom Greaves, previewing...
Tommy Greaves. Everyone's going to get a jingle this week, Ben.
Previewing this important match on Saturday. Some are calling it a 6-pointer, Marv. I'd call it a 12-pointer.
12 points are available, right, yeah, Ben. Good grief. They changed the rules.
At Boston United...
They should do that. One game for each club every year. It's a 12-pointer.
What they did that in Formula 1, didn't they? Double points at the last race of the season.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So we've got Tom Greaves coming up.
Just start doing stuff like this with football. Just start mixing up every year.
We've got Tom Greaves coming up. We've also got the sport...
You know what? This year, yellows are reds and reds are yellows. What? Do they mean cards? Do they mean colours? Just say the rule and see what people do.
We've also got Duncan Brown coming on. He's the sports editor for the Boston Standard.
What's his name?
Duncan Brown.
Duncan Brown.
I don't know him personally.
Duncan Brown.
Marv. It's important to say, Duncan Brown. It's not like Phil Brennan, where I know Phil Brennan.
Is Phil Brennan coming to the show?
No, no.
He doesn't get a jingle?
No, but he got, you know, Don Brennan kind of thing. Remember
a few weeks ago? Yeah.
I know he could take that.
Right. There's nothing offensive about giving someone a jingle, Ben.
Yeah, but he's come on the show. He thinks we're a reputable radio station.
We are.
I don't want him to be fooled into, you know, going, oh, this is a mistake.
You probably should have said that before I started the whole jingle thing, Ben.
And we've got Swamper.
Swampy, 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 Swampy.
Shall we kick things off anyway with Mr. Duncan Brown from Boston Standard?
That'd be a great idea.
Now, obviously, Boston United against FC United this weekend. Big game, Marv.
Big game.
Big game.
Big game. 12-pointer, Ben.
Very shortly, we'll be hearing from Tom Greaves. But here is, from the other side of the fence, sports editor for the Boston Standard.
A big thank you for joining us, Duncan. I suppose the first question we should ask is, what's the season been like at Boston United since the two clubs met back in August?
It's been a tale of two different managers, really, at Boston United. You guys won 2-1. Adam Murray was in charge. He had a very defensive philosophy, very, very defence-minded, you know, don't concede and get the goals on the break. And it really didn't work out. He had a big overhaul in the summer. And the personnel, he's a very data-minded manager and brought in the people he thought would be the correct people. And it just didn't work, as you saw in the previous fixture between the two sides. FC just exploited the fact that long balls over the top were a weakness for Boston centre-backs. And it paid off for you guys that day. And since then, since Adam Murray's left, they've had Craig Elliott come in, who used to be the manager of Shore Lane. And he's certainly upped it. The goal strike rate is much higher. And I'd say that they're going for it more. They're becoming an attacking side. They're a lot more fun to watch. Saying that, the last two games, they haven't found the back of the net. Lost 1-0 to York and Leamington. But prior to that, they had a 9-game unbeaten run where they scored 24 times. So very, very different Boston United side to the side that most of your fans will have seen earlier in the season.
I suppose the thing we have to say about Craig Elliott is, because we do the MPL show on FC Radio, and at the time, it raised a few eyebrows, because Shore Lane were quite high up in the MPL, and Boston were fairly low down in the National League North table. And I think it can't be understated the impact that Craig Elliott's had at the club.
No, he's completely revitalised the place. I mean, let's be honest, he's brought a lot of players in as well. He's brought in Ryan Qualter, John Stewart from Shore Lane, Brad Abbott's come in from low divisions, same Bandy Thanodge, and they've really sort of reinvigorated the team. Got the wingers. Boston's strength was the wingers, Jay Rollins and Ashley Hemmings, and he's really got those guys going. Reece Thompson, the striker, who's back from suspension on Saturday, he's one of those strikers who, if you're a fan of the club, you love him. He's full of running. He's just a menace. And if you're an opposing fan, you hate him because he's just at your defence all day. And people like that, they've made a big difference. And as you say, Craig Elliott, I think in the standings, there was only two, three places between Shore Lane and Boston at the time. But he felt it was time for the step up, time to face the Yorks and the Stockports and the FC Uniteds, which you don't really get those sort of bigger clubs in lower level, no disrespect, but he said at Shore Lane they won three promotions and the fan base really didn't change, and you felt that there was only so far he could go with that club.
Don't let an Altrincham fan hear you say that, by the way, Duncan. They'll be up in arms.
They'll be back up very soon. I
was going to say, though, I mean, it is a bit of a no-brainer as well for Craig, because it's like, you know, Shore Lane are an ambitious club, but Boston, If you go to Boston, as you go many times, it's a football league ground, essentially. So it is a no-brainer. I mean, what's the mood been like among supporters in this Craig Elliott era?
It's been revitalised. I say, from top to bottom, the club's different change in mood. Everyone liked Adam Murray, and everyone liked what he was trying to do, trying to take a scientific data-based approach to the team, try and build a young side that he could mould and he believed could go, you know, go far together over several seasons. But as I say, for reasons unknown, it just didn't happen. And Craig Elliott's just got, he's a square pegs in square holes man. He believes if he gets his personnel right, he doesn't have to overcomplicate things. He just gives them instructions to go out, work to a game plan or a plan B if that doesn't work. And it, so far it has seemed to work. As you say, when he came to Boston, they were second bottom. After that nine-game unbeaten spell, which included victories against York and Blyth and Southport, they actually went up to 11th. They were within 5 points of the playoffs. And the last couple of games, mixed with three postponements and other teams playing their matches and catching up, has seen them slip down the table. And now they're only 5 points off the drop zone. It's a strange situation, but there's still a lot of confidence in the team.
That was going to be my question, actually, to you, Duncan, to kind of round the interview off a bit, because if you go on the FC forum at the moment, there's a bit of a feeling that FC United are in a relegation battle, and many of the coaching staff will freely admit they're in a relegation battle. But the gap to the playoffs for FC United is only 11 points, and actually to Boston in mid-table, it's 2 points. Admittedly, Boston do have games in hand. But do you feel Boston are in this relegation battle as well?
I think what the manager said prior to the York game, which they did lose 1-0, and they've got a couple of players sent off, and so they'll be suspended for the Saturday as well. Ben Middleton, the defender, and Andy Fanoj, the midfielder, being the two who won't be playing. He said that it's important to pick up points to not be sucked in a relegation battle. Craig Elliott feels one of the mid-table teams who's doing well at the minute will suddenly find themselves, due to the circumstances, a couple of bad results, being dragged down there. But as you say with FC United, I think Boston, and that unbeaten run was very similar to what FC United did a couple of months previously, when they just, things clicked and it worked, and they suddenly found themselves flying up the table. But then, since then, Boston have had that stop start, and I think FC United are the same. They haven't really sort of hit the rhythm and the full potential they can do this season. It's frustrating. They should be down there, because they both could be much higher up as well.
And just before you go, Duncan, a big thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to come on the show. And as you've come on the show, it would be remiss of us not to allow you free rein to plug your work and the Boston Standard and that kind of thing. So give it a good plug, and where people can read all the latest news from Boston United and the footballing world of Lincolnshire.
That's kind of you to say. It's www.bostonstandard.co.uk. The usual pre-match previews and match reports will be on there tomorrow. FC United fans may disagree. They may agree with a few things on there, but it's up to them. You know, if they want to have a drop by and see, you know, how other people have viewed the game, then they're always more than welcome to have a click.
Duncan Jones there on FCUM Radio, radio for FC United Manchester. A pleasure to have Duncan Jones on the show.
Mav, it's Duncan Brown, sports editor for the Boston Standard. We'll be hopefully meeting him tomorrow. And we should say, you can follow Duncan on Twitter with the best Twitter handle on Twitter, in my humble opinion, Standard Duncan.
Yeah, that is a good handle. Yeah, I've just realised why my joke didn't work.
Yeah,
because I was trying to reference David Bowie.
Oh, I thought you meant Duncan Bannatyne.
No, I mean I didn't name any famous Joneses or
it's David
Duncans.
Jones. By the way.
Yeah, I got it just completely wrong. So that joke made no sense at the start of this link. Let's move on quickly, Ben. This today, Ben, yes. They announced the the England squad for the next few completely wasted time England games.
Yeah.
What do you make of it? There's been big reactions on the social media already, Ben.
I saw, didn't I see something this afternoon about it being our typical Gareth Southgate, typical establishment squad, no real risks.
No. They've picked some new players, Ben.
Have they?
But don't worry, there's still some kind of well-experienced, knowledgeable players in the group.
I'm a bit disappointed by the World Cup, I'll be honest. Obviously, there's the Russia thing, which I'm sure we'll get to later in the show during Politics Hour. But, you know, it's... There's no one there who I can cheer on.
Oh, it's a complete waste of time.
It is. Because, yeah. You know, I normally cheer on Ireland.
It's basically a lot of people going to go to a place, some of which are going to get really badly hurt, and others are going to get only slightly hurt, and others will make it through it. And there's going to be a load of disappointing football happening in an area which is not popular for a number of reasons, and it's a complete waste of time. They should just stop the whole thing. Just stop it. Send all the players on a big holiday.
Do what the Americans and Italy are doing. They're having their own little tournament.
I know, it's nice.
Isn't that nice?
So what's happened, Ben? I'll give you the good news first. Yeah. Joe Hart's still in the squad. Not played a game since November.
Where is Joe Hart? Is he still at
West Ham?
Torino?
He's at West Ham now.
What? He's at West Ham?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, he's at West Ham now.
By the way, just while we're talking about
Warming
West Ham.
The bench, Ben.
Let me just talk about West Ham. Just go on a quick segue.
Yeah. David
there
Moyes.
Was all this trouble at the weekend at the London Stadium.
Yes, there was.
And I watched the BT Premier League Tonight show that evening, and there was Glenn Hoddle there, Frank De Boer, Chris Sutton.
I like Frank De Boer, Ben.
The problem with this is, obviously, there's a lot of resentment in that fan base, right? And, you know, there's clearly something gone on where the owners and the fans aren't getting on with one another. And it's not necessarily about results on the pitch, because of late West Ham have been doing all right-ish. They've been getting out the relegation zone and, you know. So clearly something's gone on. So BT Sport, instead of addressing what the underlying problems are, they just asked three ex-professional footballers what they thought. And obviously they went, there's a time and a place for a protest.
Sure.
I think the time and the place for a protest is at the match. If it's a football club, call me an old-fashioned FC United fan.
You're an old-fashioned FC United fan, Ben.
Do you know what I mean, though? Why did they not invite on, even just on video phone, a member of the West Ham Supporters Trust or something, just to talk about what the underlying problems are, just to set the scene? Obviously, no one should be running on the pitch.
To be fair, normally I kind of try and disagree with you at this point, just to go and be a devil's advocate in the situation. But I entirely agree with you, especially considering the fact that surely they'd like drama on the show. So get someone in to give that drama to the presenter and then go, all right, well, let me put that to the panel here, because that gets audience.
Exactly.
People would go, I want to watch that.
There's stuff gone on, and clearly that was a kind of unofficial, organised, I can't work out if it was organised protest, but stuff's gone on. Get to the bottom of it, Jake Humphries. Don't just sit there asking Chris Sutton and Glenn Hoddle what he thinks.
Let's see where else you go with this. So also
football
good news.
Team, yeah.
Also
Joe
good news. Joe Hart's in the other good news, yes. Ben. I've already forgotten his name. Danny Welbeck's still in the squad.
Right. I don't think United should have ever got rid of Danny Welbeck, but fair enough.
He's still there, as is Jack Wilshere. You remember him?
Arsenal?
Yeah, that's right. Went to Bournemouth for a year. Lost
is
a lot
he still injured?
Again. Hey? No, that's the thing about him, that he's a risk. They're mentioning that in the article, Ben. But there are four new players, Ben. Let me tell you who. Burnley's James Tarkowski, Ben.
Burnley have had a good season.
Yeah. You know what position he plays?
Based on that name, goalkeeper.
Centre-back, mate. Oh. Unlucky. You knew he was defensive, though, didn't you? Also from Burnley, Nick Pope.
Okay.
Do you want to guess what position he plays in? This seems like a fun game because you don't know who any of these people are.
Goalkeeper.
Yes, he's a goalkeeper. Well played, yeah. Swansea defender. Oh.
Oh, defender.
Yeah, Alfie Mawson.
Right.
And Bournemouth, Lewis Cook.
Okay.
What position does Lewis Cook play?
Winger.
Midfielder, Ben. Oh. You're very close all these times. So, you know, that's the. Well, there must be a full squad in here somewhere. Vardy's in it, obviously. There's no Harry Kane.
You've got stats there and everything. There you go.
There's no Harry Kane because he's injured. Marcus Rashford gets in the team. Dele Alli again, Eric Dyer, can't get past those two, can we?
You know who I'd just like to say, who is in the squad, I've just seen? Ashley Young.
Ashley Young's in there, yeah.
He's doing quite well.
Is he?
Yeah.
In a side that's really profiting at the moment.
He's a left back. How did that happen?
He's the new...
You know, because I'll be honest.
Evra?
I've been in a United coma for a number of years. I've been drifting in and out. I've been picking up the odd thing. But obviously, because, as we said, I'm trying to get my son involved, I've jumped back on board the United bandwagon without paying any money, just to be clear. But I've been relatively surprised by Ashley Young. I think he's quite decent at left back. Not as good as Dennis Irwin, obviously, or Phil Neville. But he's certainly better than Quinton Fortune when he played there.
Oh, sure, Ben. I mean, that's a given, isn't it?
Yeah. I like Quinton Fortune.
Yeah?
Yeah, especially like that Real Madrid match where...
I like Quinton Fortune.
Fergie clearly said to him, that Zidane, knock him off his feet, Quinton. Straight on the pitch. Pow! Yellow card.
Speaking of straight onto the pitch, pow, Ben, do you want us to introduce Tom Greaves?
Yes, let's get Tom Greaves on. So we're recording this show on Thursday. We've no idea what Tom Greaves is going to say, what team news is going to be breaking out during this interview. But stuff happened on Friday, and let's find out how FC United are shaping up going into Saturday's match against Boston.
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, Boston. Proper, yeah, I liked it, yeah.
So a big thank you for joining us, Tom, once again. First things first, how's training been this week?
It's been good, yeah. We had a good chat after the Harrogate game, then before training on Tuesday. We've had a few of our concerns, what we need to work on and things like that. So hopefully we'll put this little bad run to bed now and we're going to crack on with 9 cup finals to go.
Now, the main focus last week and for previous weeks has obviously been the goal-scoring side of things. How's that side of training gone? Because obviously we've got two young forwards and it's a big ask to try and make them hit the ground running. But how have they been in training this week?
Yeah, of course, it's difficult and it's always going to be tough to judge them against one of, if not the best team in the league. To be honest, they look good in spells. So yeah, we have done a lot of working in the final third this week as well. So hopefully we'll be able to break that duck and we'll go and score a few goals on Saturday and in the coming week.
And how's the personnel looking going into this game? Because obviously I think Sam Baird he picked up a slight knock, didn't he, at Harrogate? How are we looking on the squad front?
Yeah, touch wood. It'll be the same squad for Harrogate. We've not picked anything up in training or anything like that. Sam's absolutely fine. It was just nothing more than a niggle. And then we've got Joe Logan, who's going to be coming back into full-time training next week. So that's a bonus for us as well.
Oh, that is a bonus. How important is a player like Joel Logan to the squad? Because we have kind of missed that finesse, haven't we, I feel?
Yeah, his aggression in going forward has been greatly missed. Obviously, that side has been a bit of a problem for us this season. He got injured, then Tommy Walker left, then Zach Corbett got injured. So it's been a little bit of a problem there, and I think Luke's coming and done well. But yeah, we have missed his pace and his power, and it just creates things out of nothing. So yeah, we have missed him.
Now, the other thing to mention about FC United isn't just the goal scoring or the injuries, it's the away form. And, you know, Boston United, obviously at time of recording, we're hearing about amber warnings and all kind of things. Best, if you listen to this, best just to check Twitter before setting off. But unfortunately, we don't have that luxury, do we, Tom? We're going to leave and probably find out when we get to Lincoln that the game's off. But how difficult are aways like this, going to a place like Boston?
To be honest, when you're in the side, you don't really think about the run of form away from home. You just go in and approach it as you would any other game. Obviously, they are difficult places to go. Boston are known for having a bit of a big crowd and things like that. So they'll get on our backs and do the best to put us off our game. But we just approach it as same as any other game. So we've had some good chats and we've heard our concerns. So hopefully now the squad's all pulling in the same direction, singing off the same hymn sheet, so to speak. And we're just going to go for it these last 9 games and see where we finish.
I mean, this is the most remarkable thing, and we touched upon it on this week's show as well. The fact that, you know, we're 11 points from the playoffs. it is remarkable, and we're 2 points behind Boston. And admittedly, Boston have 3 games in hand, but it doesn't feel like we're in a relegation battle. How are you approaching this? These last 9 games, other than you know we have to do well in all of them. The pressure's on, isn't it?
Yeah, of course the pressure's on, but there's a lot of pressure on a lot of teams as well. So it's just the teams that will go on a decent run of form at the right time that'll stay up. If you have the bad run of form at the wrong time, then unfortunately, she's probably one of the teams to drop. We're hoping that we've had our bad run of form now and we can get out of that, go win a few games. And like you say, if we can take 4, 5, 6 points over the next week, we'll look a completely different side and a little completely different position in the league, and I think the panic will probably slowly disappear. I mean, us as a squad, us as a management team, we're not panicking yet. We know the quality that we've got in the side. We know the quality that we've got on the bench. So we're not panicking. We've just got to take one game at a time. And fingers crossed we pick up as many points as we can away from home and keep our good form at home.
Interestingly, you've not ruled out the playoffs there, Tom, I've noticed. So keep
Tom. Playoffs has never been in the question for me. Obviously, when we went on that good run, everyone was getting a little bit giddy, but I knew we had a lot of tough games to come. We'll just concentrate on ourselves and we'll see where we can finish.
Well, Tom, a big thank you for joining us and we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for coming on the show.
Tom, man. Cheers, man.
Tom.
Greaves. So Tom Greaves.
Floor Tom.
What?
Floor Tom. Rack Toms. Tom Tom.
These are drumming references.
Turn left ahead.
So very shortly we're going to be hearing from Swamper, who also has no idea what Tom Greaves just said. So that's a fun game of Friday Night Shindig. Speaking of fun games, let's discuss Jamie Carragher, Marv.
Oh, who's Jamie Carragher, Ben?
I've got a view on this.
Oh, here we go.
Now, it might come as a surprise, right, but I'm not too sure he was totally in the wrong.
Now, there's a couple of things worth saying, because I know where you're going with this. He'd been goaded a few times. That had been happening. And the girl that ended up being spat on clearly didn't want anything to do with it, because in the video she's saying stuff to, I think she's to her dad or to Dave or something like that, and it's just basically saying cut it out. It's clearly been going on for a while and she's sick of it. So the fact that she's ended up being the one being spat on is a real shame. And if anything, she kind of dismisses it and goes, he just spat on me. Oh, and doesn't he go like, oh, Jamie Carragher spitting! Jamie! He celebrates it, Ben. Now, I can't excuse the fact, though, that he spat. It's completely disgusting in any regard. There is no ever decent reason to spit my fluid into anyone else's arena.
But, you're right, but it doesn't warrant all this, does it?
I think it does because of the money that he makes. And the impression that you try to create of someone on television. And I think in this day and age, Ben, I think there's enough talented people in the world to mean that dirty, dirty buggers, Ben, shouldn't be on television.
But he's not spitting on television.
Right. But he's spitting on members of the public, Ben. What? Just members
of
the public.
Is there a line, like if he threw a McDonald's milkshake at the car, would that be all right?
Oh, that's an interesting question, Ben. I was going to dismiss it as soon as you said it, but I'd like to talk about this. All right. If it was a McDonald's milkshake.
Yeah. Strawberry.
That Carragher threw.
At the car. I mean, that's
hits dangerous. Hits the girl or hits the car?
It goes right through the window.
Hits the girl.
Hits all of them.
Same result. Yeah same
but
result.
The problem with that is, obviously, that's dangerous, isn't it? So, he's got two options. To spit out the car or to do the Vs. Now, obviously, he might have already done the Vs and that didn't work.
Maybe.
He could have just drove off dead fast. Would that have worked?
No. I think that there's another solution, Ben.
What? Ignore it?
Ignore it? You don't have to do something, Ben.
I don't feel comfortable about this, because I'm kind of sticking up for a scouse on the radio, and I don't think I should. Especially when he's actually spat somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He spat, Ben. Spat. I can't emphasise that enough.
Shall we get the opinion?
Let's talk about other things, though, just momentarily. What if he'd thrown a concept at them?
What, like the what kind of concept? Like, I don't know, the backpass rule is a bad idea?
Let's talk about the concept of bullying. Just threw that at them, you know, while he's driving along like that.
But isn't that what he's...
If he'd thrown that kind of concept, he probably would have got a pay rise.
Isn't that what he's been the victim of?
Well, yeah. That's the irony of the situation, Ben. It's clever.
Aren't we told, as, you know, if you should fight back against bullies, and that's what he's done?
Ben, that's not what we're told. We're told that fighting back against bullies is not the way to solve it.
Oh, is that...
Two wrongs don't make a right, Ben.
Oh, do you just move on?
Yes.
Oh.
Don't promote any kind of violence on this show. Even if you're being bullied, kids,
You just started stroking your beard about the idea, the concept of a strawberry bloody milkshake being thrown
what?
At the car.
I like a philosophical question, Ben. What
if you are listening to this, driving, don't throw a milkshake out the
cage. Don't throw anything.
Don't go to McDonald's. It's really bad.
Yeah, God, yeah. That's the main point to take from
Shall we get a view from the other side of the argument? I feel like it.
Is there another side of the argument?
I don't
believe
so. Is he
going to disagree with us?
I don't know. It's an interesting one because I don't know. Let me speak to Swampy and find out what he has to say. So Swampy's outside the Heating Hops right this very second. So this is breaking live radio stuff. Is he going to answer them first and foremost?
Don't know, mate. We'll find out. It's exciting radio.
Hello!
Hello!
Whoa, you can't shout yet. I'm still in the pub. I'm going outside to do this. We've got to do a radio show. Fucking 10 minutes.
10 minutes, that's optimistic.
Is it outside already? Bargain beers. Hold on, no. Oh. Hold on. It's not quite, I'm not outside yet. Don't forget, I definitely want it, so I'll find it here.
Which pub is he in, Ben?
Right, hold on. Oh, it's blooming freezing. I don't know why I've agreed to this.
Hello!
Swampy.
Now, Swampy, you join us in the middle of a big mass debate here.
In the middle of the night.
Right, so Swampy.
All right.
Swampy.
I'm going to do something that looks disgusting, but it's not disgusting. I left a cigarette outside so I could come back and drink and smoke it, and someone's outside as well seeing me take it out of a tray that looks like I've been smoking like someone else's dimps, but I'm not.
Well, you cleared that up very well.
You don't hear that much.
Now, Swampet, where do you stand? Yes. Where do you stand on the Jamie Carragher incident?
Hold on.
There's a grenade.
What's that? All right, there, liar. Sorry. Where do I stand on it? Yes. I'd stand well away from it, to be honest. If I was you, I'd go nowhere near it. I mean, why? Why would you want me? It's a girl I feel sorry for. A little girl. A phlegm.
I've got to say, though. Question, and I want to put it to you as well. If he hadn't spat at the girl, if he'd thrown a McDonald's strawberry milkshake at the girl instead, would that have ended in the same result? Would it have been just as much shock and awe to the nation?
I don't think strawberry milkshake's his favourite flavour, to be honest. So it might have been a shock to the nation. I don't think he actually even goes there, to be honest, either. I think his vehicle's too big to get through the drive-thru because he's too pox nowadays, obviously, to actually go in. The only thing I can say is that I'm not condoning it in any way, shape or form, but to be able to provide that much phlegm that quickly, it was as if he was a Welshman preparing to give you a nameplate and directions. But,
it's funny.
Totally wrong. He was totally wrong. The funniest thing I find out of it that the bloke who took all the stuff is having one of the drivers a driver awareness course. After all that, Carragher was completely out of order. If I was the bloke himself, it happened to me. There's no way I wouldn't go to the papers or anything like that. It's ridiculous.
But Swami, let me ask you this: What if you were in Carragher's position? How would you have dealt with it?
I would have spat at myself.
You would have spat at yourself?
In a car with Swampy, he would have spat
that's
on himself.
That's quite sad,
yeah. Swampy.
To be honest, I wouldn't have done anything. I think he's someone who's in the media, he's someone that everyone knows, And the worst thing is, to be honest, certain people have reputations and they go beyond them reputations. They start turning into a decent person, and then they just revert back to type, don't they? And then you go, see, that's what he's always been like. And you're thinking, no, he's not. It's a moment of madness. He was stupid to do it. The bloke who took the photographs would have said, look, got it sorted out privately, arranged £1 million payoff, or take it to the papers, because all that's happened is he's got the bloke's got... The bloke's got no money out of it. He's got a driver's awareness course. His daughter feels humiliated because basically he's been spat on. And no one's a winner.
I'm a winner. Like you say, the amount of phlegm that came out of him, they're winners.
Swampy, just to change the subject slightly, Boston United tomorrow. What do you think?
Wow, that's a good segue, Ben. I bet you've been working on that for weeks, haven't you?
Speaking of Flemish... Not too far from Holland, Lincolnshire.
Let me tell you this now. Swampy, you've not yet moved across because of the great football FC you're playing. And once you are in Belgium, obviously they speak French and Flemish.
There we go. What do you think for tomorrow's game?
Well, depending on the weather, because we know there's a real cold front coming in, if the game goes on, it's going to be a very, very tough ask for FC United, to be honest. I think as a team lacking in confidence, lacking in a bit of quality at the moment, and they need a little bit of support. And I think tomorrow is just about getting a result in any way, shape or form, and then maybe trying to save the season on Tuesday against Gainsborough. Luckily for FC, the results to a degree went our way during the week. But I think really we've got to get our own house in order very, very quickly. And I'm not quite sure whether we're going to do it or not, you know.
Oh, Swampy, let me ask you this. Just this thing, there's probably a lot of people listening that will want to know this. When was the last time you got your house in order?
Say that again, sorry. There was a gentleman running past in a pair of shorts, tattooed legs and a hat, and he shouted, "Hello, Steve, how are you?" And for the life of me...
Who's Steve? I mean, who's Steve? Who's Steve?
I don't know, that's what Steve I mean. Then he shouted, "All right, Swampy." He never spat on me, so it can't be Jamie Carragher, can it?
Marv asked, when was the last time you got your house in order?
When was the last time, what, sorry?
You got your house in order.
My house, I wish you hadn't said that, you know, lads. Today, I've decided to do a bit of plumbing.
Oh, right.
Hello.
Toilet.
Believe you me.
Toilet.
Leave it to the plumbers.
Was it the toilet, mate?
All I can say is I've got a gaping hole. I've got a gaping hole, and also I'm leaving it at that.
Think your best, mate. Think your best.
Just before you go, Swampy, you mentioned the Gainsborough match. Is this... With the Boston match, after the Harrogate match, so many matches, what do you think? Do you think we should be... what would be a good result tomorrow? Would a draw be a good result?
I think it would, yeah. I mean, Boston are a little bit of form. There's not a huge between the two... In points-wise, not a lot between the two teams, but I think the problem that we've got is that we can't score goals and we're leaking them very, very easily. I think there was a lot of undue criticism against certain individuals. I've got no problem with people, giving their opinion, but I think that looking at the game on against Harrogate, we were severely punished. We talked about it on the It'll Be Off and one more cup of coffee and all the rest of it. I think we can't afford another performance or anything like that again for the rest of the season. I think it's very difficult for the young lads that are coming through, that are coming to the team. Tomorrow, I think what we need to do is just make sure we are good in all our positions. Everyone has a role and responsibility tomorrow, and everyone has to stick to it. And we can't concede for the first 20, 25 minutes. And I think for me, I'd be quite happy to see a boring 0-0 draw tomorrow and just make sure that the lads get a little bit of the confidence of going to Boston on a good pitch. The big partisan crowd there tomorrow. Boston are looking to try and move forward. Got a new manager who's done tremendously well since he left Shore Lane, and a few players from Shore Lane there, so it shows you can take a couple of players from a couple of steps level if they've got the attitude and the right manager with them and, do well. But at the same token, you know, we've got good quality players there. We need to get a captain's performance out of Kay. We need a captain's performance out of all the senior players. We can't. The young players, we've got youth and exuberance. But we've got to make sure that our senior players are at the races tomorrow, and we've got to be astute, we've got to defend well, we've got to work hard, and we've got to make sure that Boston don't roll us over and don't find it an easy afternoon, and that's all we can ask for, and hopefully we can leave with at least a point.
I mean, I like the idea that rolling someone over is an easy afternoon. For me, that sounds like quite a tricky competition. The idea of rolling Ben over, for example, if I had to roll him on from his front to his back, I mean, that'd take me a good hour, you know what I mean?
What? Anyway, Swampy.
Imagine if you rolled him over like Flat Stanley, how big his head would be.
Oh, God.
What the hell Flatten. Are you talking about?
Two grown men.
He'd look like a giant lollipop stick, wouldn't he? You know, he could be outside him, but you could actually use him, and he could be a second profession, yeah. You know, from 3:30 in the morning till 9 o'clock.
Yeah, there's only one problem with that, Swampy. He's fat.
What?
Not fat.
You wouldn't be fat if you were flat, well, would you? Have you ever seen Flat Stanley? He was never fat.
Well, Well, I know, but Ben is. That's my point. He can't be Flat Stanley because he's really fat.
Okay, Flat Stanley. No, crack on.
Swampert, a big thank you for joining us. Enjoy.
Oh, is that it?
Enjoy raiding that ashtray, and we'll speak to you tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Long journey down there. 9:15 start for the players, so people have to remember that as well. A lot of these players tomorrow, certainly from a Tom's perspective, they'll have an hour and a half travel from Yorkshire, together with the likes of Kieran Glynn and a few others. A lot from Liverpool will be travelling across as well. So even before we get on the team bus, players will be up about half six, seven o'clock to get across. And then that long, arduous journey down to Boston, you know. But let's hope we can, you know, we can do it. I mean, if there's any, I mean, we look at Spennymoor played the other night, unfortunately beaten in the quarterfinal of the FA Vars, and Bromley went all the way up there on a Tuesday night and got a result 2-1 against a really good team that we drew with. So, you know, the travelling, let's hope we can have a positive attitude on the bus. Everyone's together in unity, and we can get a result tomorrow against a decent Boston team. If we can do that, I think we'll be okay for the season. If we don't, we've got to win that game on Tuesday. It's imperative.
Thank you, Swampert. See you tomorrow.
Take care, boys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Get off me.
Swampy there.
Oh, he put the phone down really abruptly. Do you think he'll be all right?
I assume it was a joke, Ben. Let's be fine about it.
Because there was a Scouser there. He called him Stephen, who obviously... Don't know who that shouldn't relate to. Don't know who Stephen is. So, you're listening to the Friday Night Shindig here on FCUM Radio. Radio for FC United Manchester. And should we have the buffet?
Well, Ben, before we have the buffet, let me just... You challenged me a few weeks ago to write the Stephen Wood song. And I'd like you to know that I've started it. It's not finished being recorded yet. But I just want to say, because it's hard, this.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I'm on the right line. Okay. So, to the tune of Back for Good.
Yeah.
Should I give it a go, the first couple of verses? I'll find a karaoke version.
Okay. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us, not live, via FCM Radio on Twitter or station at fcmradio.co.uk.
That's very nicely done, Ben. Right, I mean, I've not tried this yet. So we'll see how it goes. It's like a drum fill before it comes in, isn't it? Yeah, it's like that. Here we go. Steve Wood. This is for you, Stephen. There's only a couple of verses, don't get too excited.
I guess now it's time to finally read Trips on Glue. I've got my Rory Patterson bookmark. Lee Centurions are playing on TV. Oh, what a dream. And with a twist of pure emotion, I'll eat the pie but not the crust.
And then that's as far as I've got so far. Is that heading in the right direction?
That is heading in the right direction. I'm going to take a snippet of that and play it just before he comes on the radio tomorrow. Well played. It's like the mouth of old has just returned. I like that.
What else have I got here that I've not talked about yet? What's this? Never go again to Lee, Toronto.
He basically said to me
last
season.
We've talked about this so many times.
He said last season, I'm never going back to see Lee Centurions ever again. Yeah. And then the moment Toronto Wolfpack come to town, he's got a front row ticket at the Lee Sports Village.
Fine, okay. Yeah. I've also got written down reassuringly Northern. I've also got written down in quote marks, Ben. I don't know what this is at all. The salad cream.
Oh, yes. Somebody said, I'm not going to name names, but someone described Steve Wood, if he's not an FC Live, it's like a salad without salad cream.
So if he's not on FC Live.
Yes. It's like.
Do they like salad cream?
They don't make that clear, but I'm going to assume that they do.
It's like salad without salad cream.
Mm-hmm. She's a bit 1980s. We kind of moved on from salad cream.
Also rhymes with dream very easily, so that feels like a lyric in itself. Good grief. Right, well, I'll crack on. It's clearly going in the right direction.
That's right. Very shortly, we're going
to... Is there a point to it, or is it just purely a song about Steve Wood?
It's purely a song about Steve Wood.
Wanting him back.
And his vanity. He wanted his own jingle.
And what was it? We want Steve back.
We want Steve back.
We want Steve Wood at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, I did write that down, actually. Want Steve back. Steve Wood. Right, I've actually written that down last time. Reassuringly northern.
Larkin has made a mixed Chinese starter.
All right, what's in it?
A vegetable spring roll.
Oh, that sounds nice.
A prawn spring roll.
Oh, two spring rolls.
Tofu and prawn yakitori. And poached chicken in soy and rock sugar.
It's a delightful finish. Rock
They're
sugar.
Served with steamed water egg with crab meat.
Wow. Okay.
Stir-fried cockles and peanuts.
Cock and crab.
A soy and a tofu emulsion.
Two emulsions.
And a side of morning glory.
Yay! Really, when you listen back to that, that actually happened.
There's no adding in there.
No adding of other things in there. Someone made all of that stuff for
Larkin.
One.
Larkin, his name was.
As a starter, is that what she says at the beginning?
Larkin has made a mixed Chinese starter.
A starter. And then the clip, Ben, is... How long is it? 27 seconds long. Two kind of spring rolls, some kind of tempura tori tofu thing, a chicken with rock sugar, two kind of emulsions,
have you
and a side of morning glory. Incredible.
Have you watched MasterChef since he's come back?
No. What's it been like?
I'm bored.
Oh, I bet you are. I couldn't bring
just
myself
can't
to do it.
Bear it. It's like all the episodes. They've oversaturated it. And for a cooking show, that's unforgivable. Because it's like, you of all people should know that if you have too much of something...
Like you tell them every week about the salt and pepper. You know, too much salt, over salty. But not enough salt. It's not seasoned well enough, is it? You're right, Ben.
One a week. That's all we require.
How many are they doing?
I think they're on 5 days a week or close to it.
It used to be four.
It might be four. But it's like that's what did the Great British Menu.
What are the challenges this time around? Have they done anything different?
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, we said this a couple of years ago, didn't we? They go straight to the bloody kitchen, the professional kitchen. It's like there's nowhere to go from here.
Straight in. Not sure they do like one of like these blind rounds where they kind
of. Oh yeah. Oh, the other thing is as well. They started doing this stupid ready, steady, cook. Oh, we've got a market with all the ingredients.
Oh, they still do
it.
The market stall.
Oh,
right.
It's so tedious because it's like, what a waste of food.
Do they still do like, here's a chicken, you have to carve the chicken and make a chicken salad in 2 minutes?
No.
They've got like one person at a time?
No.
Oh, is that the...
That's the professionals.
That's the professionals.
Think, no, this is like, oh, take your shopping basket.
Oh,
well,
the basket.
To be honest, Greg, if I was going to an actual supermarket, even if I was going for a loaf of bread, I'd still get a shopping trolley. Watch me then. Get out of the way. I'm going for that sea bass.
The sea bass, Ben. What would you do with the sea bass? What else would you get?
Pasta.
Some pasta, mm-hmm. Right.
And ketchup.
And ketchup.
Yeah.
Sea bass, ketchup and pasta.
Yeah. Bit of butter.
Right.
Good. On the pasta.
On the pasta, right.
Yeah. And then you squirt the tomato ketchup in. This is after it's cooked, by the way.
To the
so pasta. I'll take you through it.
Cooking with Ben.
Right. Shake the bag.
Shake the bag.
Get the pasta shells out of the bag onto the plate. Now the plate's there to
the shells. You always get shells. You get
shells. You can use any form of pasta really, but I prefer the shells.
What's the shell's name in Italian?
La shell.
Conglietti.
La shell.
La shell.
So
shells on the plate.
Get the shells on the
We've
plate.
Got a minute
now
left.
The shells are there purely as on the plate as a kind of measuring your portions because you want a plate full of pasta. That's
sure.
What you have to. So get your plate of pasta in the pan, right?
Yeah.
Boil a kettle.
Yeah.
Pour the boiling water into the pan. Then boil.
Bring it to the boil.
Bring it to the boil again. Make sure the pasta's nice and soft.
Yeah.
Overcook the pasta. I can't stand these people. Go. I like it al dente. What do you mean?
I'm impressed you know what al dente means, mate. You're from Salford. Well done. Carry on.
Go to a sieve or
Stick
a colander.
To your roots, Ben.
Or a colander, right? And pour out the hot water.
Colander, look at you.
Make sure you don't scald yourself because that could end up going to casualty and spending the next 9 hours cursing Jamie Hunt. Drain the pasta, put it back in the pan. This is where the magic comes in.
Bit of ketchup.
Butter first.
Bit of butter.
A healthy knob of butter
in
the pan.
A James Martin portion of butter.
In the pan. Squirt.
The ketchup,
right?
Heinz. Yeah.
Squirty bottle as well. None of
other ketchups are available, Ben.
The bottom, right? Squirty ketchup. Stir. Keep eating. Keep stirring, right?
Yeah.
The sauce gets into every single nook and cranny.
Yeah,
it's lovely, right?
Lovely.
There you go. Oh, and I forgot to cut the sea bass.
I'll be honest, Ben, that sounds absolutely revolting. Oh, what you've
really
got
nice.
There is a plate full of buttery ketchup pasta.
It's really nice.
It's not, mate.
It is.
It's not really nice. That's the thing.
It is.
I appreciate that you, in your concept of food, think that is really nice. But that, to me, as an actual someone that goes out and eats proper food, basically for a living, I find it offensive.
You're a food critic.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying
you
I do it a lot.
You said you eat for a living.
Yeah, I do it a lot. That's what I mean. I've been to all the city centre restaurants, Ben.
But I'm showing you something new and refreshing that nobody's ever done before, apart from me Nana, when I got home from school. She put fish fingers on top of them.
That's
oh, lovely.
Absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. I mean, it's student food, Ben.
Yeah. Exactly.
As a student, I'd be fine with that. Here's a story for you, Ben.
Yes?
I found a box of tapes this week. I was looking through some old stuff and I found a box of old camera tapes, you know, like 8mm tapes. And there's all kinds of stuff on there, like Keith's 21st birthday.
Who's Keith?
Someone I knew when he was 21. And Ken's leaving due.
Who's Ken?
Ken was someone that left. And there's also a tape in there, Ben, that I genuinely have no idea what's on it before I tell you this. I've just read the title of it, not watched it, and I could not for the life of me tell you what's on there. It just says...
Be careful now.
Just says, Marv... Solo. Two words.
Okie dokie.
What could that be, Ben?
Well, there's two options.
Oh, okay, I'm glad you've got two, because I've only got one at the moment.
Okay.
It petrifies me.
Okay, so the first option is a safe bet. It's
Which
you
is?
With a guitar.
Oh, I'd not even considered guitar.
The second there's option...
There's no other tapes in there with reference to me
actually,
doing any kind of
there's,
music.
There's three options.
Thank God.
The second option is you just literally doing an art project where you're sitting on your own in a street setting...
I feel like I'd remember that, Ben.
Probably a lamppost. Maybe it was during your Parisian days where you were hooked on heroin. Oh, I don't know.
I mean,
but...
Ben, if that is me just sitting in front of a camera playing guitar at it, at the age that I was, Ben, that is going to be the worst thing ever.
And the other option, of course,
is... Sweet Jesus, Ben, it's going to be the worst thing ever.
No, the third option's worse.
What's that?
Well, if it's solo,
yeah,
Marv solo,
yeah,
then it's you... Doing. How can I put this? You're a Cockney, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Huh?
I'm half Cockney.
Half Cockney. Well, doing the Lambeth Walk, I suppose, is on your own.
Nicely put, Ben. You're listening to Friday Night Shindig here on FCM Radio, Radio for FCM out of Manchester, and Ben and I are discussing what you can do by yourself. What other things can you do by yourself, Ben? Ponder.
Ponder.
Stress out. Oh, speaking of stressing out, I saw a guy on the way back on the
Gouge
train.
Gouge yourself on a milkshake from McDonald's.
Very specific. Spit. I saw a guy on the train on the way back from London this week.
Yeah.
Who was having a right little stress out. Oh, he was trying to connect on his very important business meeting, Ben, with Simon and Bill.
How do you know this? Because
Simon, Bill, I've got you. I've got... Hello? 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 Started hitting his phone on the table in front of him. All while this, Ben, this obviously happened over a while because he kept getting back connected. And I've got you, yeah. I think we're going to have to just write to him, aren't we? And get him very arsy about it. Just over the way, Ben, was a chap who was having a much simpler day and telling someone on the phone everything that happened since he woke up that morning. Well, I got up at 8 a.m. and went straight to the train station. And from there, I got the train down to...
that's a reassuringly northern accent.
It was delightful, Ben. I could have fallen asleep to his voice. It was lovely. But the fact that this guy didn't have any reception problems whatsoever. He just spoke for 20 minutes solid while businessman over here kept getting disconnected. It was too much for executive man. Just too much for his poor little brain. Phone! Stupid phone! I went for lunch with a friend. It was delightful. Oh, it was so good. And that's the conclusion to Friday Night Shindig here on FCM Radio, Radio for Sonata Manchester. I've been Marv.
Yes, he has.
See you next week, everybody. Good show.
What?
Good show.
That's not how the credits work. You're meant to stand still now.
No, but we can stand still. But we can still talk. Do you think it was a good show? Hello? Do you think it was a good show? Seriously. Ben, I appreciate what you're doing. But you can hear.
This is how police squad ends.
They can hear you laughing.
I can't move.
They can hear you laughing on the mic.
I can't move.
You've broken the third and fourth wall now by speaking on the radio.
What's the fourth wall?
It's because we're on the radio. There's no third wall, so we jump straight to the fourth wall. But because I'm in the room, you've broken the third wall, so you've broken both walls.
Why have I still got my hands in the air?
Don't know, mate. No one knows. Thanks to our special guests, Jamie Cadogar, Sowompe, Tom Greaves, Duncan Brown, with special guest appearance from Piers Morgan, Greg Wallace, John Tyrone, Larkin, and the Police Squad theme tune, played by the City of Prague Philharmonic Orchestra. Danke schön, Prague. The Shindig is presented in glorious Technicolor.